Or maybe you've had the chance to have a listen to the talk. It's on our website if you haven't. Check out the opening talk on 2 Peter. So we're going to go through 2 Peter over the next few weeks. And we've got the theme, it's time to grow. And we're just encouraging ourselves to grow in this season, to grow spiritually, to be more fruitful, to perhaps go deeper, whatever analogy works for you in terms of how you see growth happening. And so this letter, I think, provides some great insight from Peter. And if you remember, this is Peter's last letter. He's writing this letter literally maybe months before his death, when he's going to be martyred under the Emperor Nero. And he's writing this letter, the things he wants to say, knowing that he won't be on earth much longer. And so what I want to do is just, again, I'm just going to read the opening two verses. We spent quite a bit of time looking at verse 1. We're going to just look at verse 2 today. So verse 1, chapter 1, 2 Peter. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who share the same precious faith that we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Saviour. So may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. As we hit verse 2, we come across this statement. And this is the statement that Peter really wants us to get a hold of. He wants to see this happen through you reading this letter. He wants you to grow in the multiplication of God's grace in your life and the peace that comes from knowing God. And if you remember, right at the end of this letter, chapter 3, verse 18, you'll see there Paul again. Sorry, I keep saying Paul. Peter says there the same phrase in 2 Peter 3, verse 18. This growing in grace and peace. And the reason why I keep going to Paul is that if you read through the New Testament, if you ever have the opportunity to read through the letters, and you'll find that a lot of the New Testament is made up of Paul's letters. And most of Paul's letters, when he writes to churches, whether that's the church in Philippi or Ephesus, Colossians, Thessalonica, he usually opens his letter with that phrase, grace and peace. It's like these two characteristics, these two words and all that they mean are like the sort of, I don't know, it's like if you get a suspension bridge and you see a suspension bridge, you need to have these two really strong towers that hold this suspension bridge up. And so our faith, in terms of what can go across that bridge, if you push that analogy a bit further, has to be secured on these two foundations, these two towers of grace and peace. And Peter wants us to understand that God wants to multiply this grace. He wants to multiply it in our lives. And he gives us an insight here as to how that grace will multiply. It's like you can't get beyond the opening first two sentences without exposing one of his deepest convictions. And that is that this peace and this grace are coming into our lives through a knowledge of God. Of knowing God for ourselves. And knowing God primarily through the person of Jesus Christ. And we looked last time, didn't we, about this whole thing of it's Jesus who continues to be the focus and the person that we fix our eyes on in the midst of life, in the midst of all the different circumstances of life that we are in and that we go through. It's just so important to keep reminding ourselves that the grace and the peace that will come to us come through the knowledge of Jesus. It's one of the reasons why when we define what it means to be a disciple. And so, you know, we are a church that seeks to make disciples. We want to fulfill Matthew 28, where Jesus says, go and make disciples. And so a disciple is primarily two things. It's somebody who is learning to become more like Jesus, and somebody who is learning to do the things that Jesus did. And so that's why we make the focus Jesus. It's because the knowledge of Jesus, the growth of Jesus, the understanding of Jesus is what opens up to us the depths of grace and peace. Our world is always looking for peace. And in some ways, it's not misunderstandable why they aren't. It's like, why wouldn't they be looking for peace? There's so much going on in our world. There's so much going on in people's lives. There's a tsunami of mental health and anxiety and stress. And we want peace. But the peace that we are talking about within our own context of Christians and within the context of the scriptures is a peace that isn't something that we find primarily within ourselves. It's something that we find from outside ourselves. It's something that we find actually through a deepening understanding of who God is and how he has revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus. I don't know whether you've got a definition of the word grace in your mind. When we talk about grace, it's one of those words that is a biblical word. It's a word that you read about in Scripture. But what is grace? Some of you will remember, maybe you've even read it, a book by Philip Yancey, What is So Amazing About Grace? Isaac Newton wrote the song Amazing Grace. What is grace? Perhaps for many of us, we have this basic definition of unmerited favor. A free gift from God. Something that we don't deserve. But actually, if we're going to grow in grace, we need to sort of broaden that and deepen that and seek the scriptures. Because at the very heart of Christianity, at the foundation and fountain of our faith is this word grace. And actually, it's epitomized again in the person of Jesus. John 1 verse 18 talks about Jesus was full of grace and truth. And I guess for many of us, if we're trying to understand and help people understand what is God like, then the word grace will probably be in that sort of description or in that conversation that this God that we love, that we serve, that we follow, that we put our faith in, is faithful, is somebody that we can do that because actually we have an understanding of what he's like in the person of Jesus. So Jesus is, to quote Bill Johnson, the most perfect of revelation and theology of what God is like. There's nothing about God that isn't revealed in the revelation of Jesus. So actually, in terms of the Old Testament was pointing us and leading us and revealing within it this Messiah that was to come, the Jesus that was to come. It's sort of implicit. And then in the New Testament, it's totally explicit. You see it in the person. You see it in Jesus. And you see these men and women who follow Jesus, who wrote the New Testament, the Peters, the Pauls. And you see that they dig into this grace. They want us to know this grace. Titus 2, Paul says this, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all humanity." He's talking about Jesus. And so let me give you four blessings to think about. If you want to grow in grace, think about these four blessings and think about how they are being applied and deepened in your life. Not just a head knowledge, oh yeah, I know that's true, but actually is that really impacting me in my heart in terms of who I see myself? The first one is the blessing of acceptance. So by the grace of God, we are totally and completely accepted by God the Father. Nothing that we can do today can cause God to love us any less than he loves us right now. And nothing we can do can sort of change that level of love, that level of grace, that level of acceptance that we have. We are completely accepted. Ephesians 1 verse 6 says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestows on us in the beloved." I guess my encouragement to us is like, how can we grow in that level and depth of acceptance? Of just knowing the blessing of acceptance, that you can come into the Father's presence, you can bring all the stuff of your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly of your life, and know that you are accepted and that God will never reject you because of his grace revealed to us in Jesus Christ. So as we come to God in that grace, in that understanding that it's expressed in Jesus, we are totally and completely accepted. Never to be rejected. Nothing will surprise God. None of our behaviour surprises him. None of our beliefs surprise him. We can bring it all to him and just grow from that place of acceptance. It's the best place to begin from in terms of growing, because we can't do anything ourselves to cause that acceptance to grow, can we? We just need to receive it and apply it and open up those dark places sometimes of our lives, those hurting places of our lives, and know that this grace revealed in the person of Jesus wants to come and wash over us and heal us and cleanse us and deepen that acceptance. The second blessing is the blessing of enablement, that spiritual power and capacity to grow. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me does not prove vain, for I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me." And this is one of the sort of paradoxes of Christianity, I think, is that on the one hand, we are completely accepted. There's nothing we can do because it's through Jesus on the cross. It's by the grace of God we've been saved. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9. It's by grace. But once we come into that grace, we then have to actually apply ourselves to our discipleship. We have to work at this. And this is what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about, "I labored even more than any of you. I worked at this." And even in working at it, it's like I'm pulling on the power of the grace of God to enable me to do that. So it's not just human effort. And this is one of the sort of real tensions sometimes of our growth as Christians. It's like we can't just sit back and think, well, you know, I just need more encounters with God. If I have more encounters with God, then my life will change and I'll grow and I'll develop. There's some truth in that, but it's more than just the encounter. It's also about applying yourself, isn't it? It's the process of growing by doing certain things, by building into your life rhythms and disciplines. Some of the things that we were talking about, particularly in the lockdowns of the last 18 months, that sustain us when we can't do things like this. When you can't meet with a whole bunch of other Christians and sing and worship and get fellowship, how do you sustain yourself? Well, you sustain yourself by working at, through the grace of God, these rhythms of discipline, the reading of the scriptures. And we'll see in this book, this letter, how important it is to know the scriptures, to know the Bible, to take time to read, to study, to reflect on what God says. Thirdly, the third blessing is what I call the blessing of a new position. This is Ephesians 1 verse 3, where it says, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." So by the grace of God now, we are repositioned. We are no longer just people who live in one dimension of life on the earth. But we also have another dimension of life, which is to do with where we are seated in the heavenly places. It's to do with where we express our life and our faith by being in Christ. It's again, one of those things to appreciate, isn't it, that our bodies, yeah, our bodies right now are here, aren't we? We're sat here. You're sat on a pew and you know that your body's in this building. Maybe your bum's hurting a little bit because we're not used to sitting on pews. Although they put the cushions on today, I noticed, so it's a little bit comfier for you. But you know, you're physically here. This is where your body is. But actually your spirit is seated in a heavenly place. Your spirit is in another place as well. It's like this dimension of spiritual life that we've come into. And what we've experienced by being born again. Our spirits are alive, aren't they? Never to die. Never to be separated from God. This is our position. This is the blessings that come to us from the grace of God. I think that's an area that we could all take some time to grow in. How do we grow in that understanding that actually we are seated with God in the heavenly places? How can we sometimes get a perspective on life that isn't just caught up in the sort of now moments? You know, we've all had those moments, haven't we, where we've gone either to the top of a big building, or we've been on the top of a mountain, or we've got to a high place, and the perspective of the place changes because we're looking higher. And sometimes that position is so important to take, to just get a different perspective on what is happening in you and around you. And then I think the final blessing, which I guess connects a little bit with that, and 1 Peter 1 verse 4, in his first letter, Peter mentions this. He says, the blessing of eternal inheritance. 1 Peter 1 4 says, we've obtained an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So again, it's understanding that perspective, isn't it? And I guess this is an area that we don't talk about, we don't reflect enough on, is the blessings of eternal inheritance. That this is just, you know, some of the scriptures sometimes talk about this momentary and fleeting moment of life. 70. 70 years. And yet our life is much more than that because of the grace of God, this inheritance that we've now come into. So those are just four areas that we could ponder and think and reflect on. The blessing of acceptance, the blessing of enablement, the blessing of a new position, and the blessing of eternal inheritance. And it's really interesting, isn't it? I'll just finish at this point. We'll pick it up next time. Jesus says this in John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. For in the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, for I have overcome the world. That's not one of the verses that we tend to put in our fridges, is it? In this world you will have tribulation. Great. But that's the reality of life. At different levels for us, that life is and can be tough at times. But Jesus says, and this is the thing about the grace comes first, it's grace and peace. It's not peace and grace. The order is really important. It's the grace that comes first. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's understanding what Jesus has spoken. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. And that's the peace that we need to encourage ourselves in. It's not a peace that actually takes away the external circumstances sometimes. You know, so many of us maybe have been praying for, you know, we didn't want to go through this COVID experience. We didn't want to be in this moment. I wish it could have been a lot easier. I wish it would be easier now. Gosh, life's still not back to normal. I wish it would be this. I wish, if I was God, I would. It's like, well, that's not what Jesus says. He says, in this world, we will have tribulation. But take courage. And maybe this morning, that's something that all of us need to just ponder on again. How do we grow in our courage? Just to keep going. To encourage one another. You know, one of the things that we talk about here, it's the heart of us being a prophetic company, a prophetic church, is that we prophesy to encourage, to strengthen, to encourage, and to build up. Because we need to take courage. And maybe even in these last 18 months, that's come to the forefront of our lives much more than we've anticipated it. The courage that we need to find the peace that we have in Jesus. Let's just take a moment just to reflect on one or two things that I've said. Maybe it's just something has just dropped into your thoughts, a phrase, a thought, a verse. And just take that one thing away with you. Make a decision to think how you're going to grow this week. Our desire in these moments, Lord, is to grow in the grace, and as Peter and Paul both wrote, to be strong in the grace that is Jesus Christ. Lord, in terms of what we are pursuing, Lord, we want to pursue grace and we want to pursue peace. And so just in these moments, as we sit in your presence, as we just soak in the worship that we'll begin to sing together, Lord, may your Spirit just take hold of some of these truths, some of these promises, and help us to apply them and to ponder them over the next few weeks as we seek to grow in the grace and the peace through our knowledge of God. Amen.